Flip the calendar page to May and raise the Jolly Roger. The Pirates are actually good.
You are Locked On MLB. Your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans. Welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where's your team every day. This is the daily podcast. We talk about all of Major League Baseball. I am your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please, by all means, call me Sully. I'm going to tell you that this episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist who can take you on that journey of self-discovery from wherever you are. Visit BetterHelp, H-E-L-P, .com/LockedOnMLB today to get 10% off your first month. This is going to be a Sunday edition here. It is the fourth day of June, 2023. And we're going to be talking a little bit about the Pirate sweep that just happened over the St. Louis Cardinals, why the flipping of the calendar page has been good for one team, another team not so good, while one of the surging teams of the National League shows that sometimes you should stick with your manager. Let's talk a little bit. Oh, by the way, follow us at Locked On MLB Pods on Twitter and on Instagram. I am your pal Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. Hey, let's go through with our trivia question that I had posted the other day. And there was a lot of people wound up getting this. I thought this was going to be a tough question, but alas, a bunch of people got it right. Who was the first? Where do we go? Where do we have the first one here? Okay, I edited out me flipping through all of my screens I have up here. A lot of people did get this correctly. The first one to get it correct, however, the question was, when Babe Ruth participated in a combined no-hitter, how many outs did Babe Ruth record? And Jordan, whose Twitter handle is @lazy_s_cowboy, says, answer your trivia question. Babe Ruth recorded no outs during the no-hitter after being ejected for hitting the umpire after walking the leadoff batter. That's right. Babe Ruth got into a shouting match with the ump and got thrown out after walking the first batter. Connor McGrath also got it right. There was a couple of people got it right on the YouTube page as well. The runner who he walked was thrown out trying to steal second, and then the next 26 batters were retired. So Babe Ruth is technically part of a combined no-hitter. But it's funny, I've had two kind of negative Babe Ruth trivia questions. One that he got ejected in his combined no-hitter, one he got thrown out at second base to end a World Series, the end the World Series of 1926. Safe to say he would not do well in the present media climate. Now, let's just talk a little bit about the Pirates, shall we? The Pirates began the season with on a great run. They started the year 20-8 on April 29th. The record was 20-8, and they were a great story. They had a lot. They were a fun team, and they were able to win some big games. They did play some tomato cans along the way, but they also held their own against some good teams, and it was a nice fun story. And then they went from 20-8, they went on a 9-18 run where nothing went right. They went on some massive losing streaks. They lost something like 11 out of 12 games at one point. And the team that wasn't, they were in first place, and then they fell out of first. And it just looked like, okay, that 20-8 record was one of those aberrations. Like a team got off to a hot start, then reality kicked in. And I thought it was kind of sad because I thought, hey, the Pirates are an incredibly likable team filled with some rising stars. But, you know, they fell, they started the year 28 and then they fell sub 500 when they hit 26-7. And that's when I said, oh man, here we go. But here's the interesting thing. That horrible May that they had, they wound up having a big, after getting their, just the doors blown off their car by San Francisco on the 29th of May, 14-4. That's when they fell below 500. And I said, damn, all right, too bad. An interesting thing happened. They won the next day in San Francisco, 2-1. Then they took the finale, 9-4. Then the calendar page flipped to June. And maybe, you know, months are there on the calendar. They're somewhat arbitrary when it comes to the baseball season. You know, it just, you don't change your team. It isn't suddenly a, you know, a magical flash over the team. But maybe there's something psychological. Maybe there's something going, okay, that month is over. Boom. Let's forget about it. And here's the best thing that happened to the Pirates in the month of May, which was disastrous. They were terrible the month of May. And I'm going to go to baseballreference.com, the single resource on the history of the planet Earth. They were 8-18. March and April, they were 20-9. They were 8-18, and everything seemed to go wrong. And they were outscored, you know, left and right. But despite that dreadful month, they never fell further than two games out of first place. Think about that. They were spiraling out of control. But the Cardinals, and I'll get to them in a little bit, didn't take advantage of them. For a little bit, the Reds looked like, hey, are we contenders? Are we contenders? But the Reds never got above 500. And the Brewers, while the Brewers overtook Pittsburgh for first place, they didn't run away with it. Nobody ran away with it in May. So what happened was, even though the Pirates were absolutely spiraling, they didn't collapse. They were the great beneficiaries of a mediocre division. And with the team stumbling and bumbling, they could look up and say, hey, that stunk. And when they lost 14-4 in San Francisco, they could say, God, we're sub 500, but we're only two games out of first. And what did I say? You don't start looking at the standings until the day after Memorial Day. The day they lost 14-4 on Memorial Day. And they looked at us and said, oh, we had one good month, one bad month. But we're only two games out. Huh. And in came an absolutely critical test. The St. Louis Cardinals, the team that I picked, you picked, we all picked, almost all, some of you picked the Brewers, to win the division, is staring at them starting starting in a series that started on this Friday, June 2nd. And the Pirates and the Cardinals played, and they just finished the series, three close competitive games. And the Pirates won all three of them. And at the conclusion of the game today, the Pirates moved into a tie for first place. Now, that's contingent on the Brewers game, which is being played right now. You all know the final outcome of that. I only have today, right now, to record today's episode. I don't know what the Brewers are going to do. That's almost immaterial. Because if the Brewers win, they'll have a half-game lead. If they lose, the Pirates move into first. But the other thing that happened is the rest of the National League wildcard situation has become a sea of mediocrity, which means the Pirates aren't necessarily clinging to a playoff spot by being in first place in a mediocre NL Central. They're actually a wildcard team right now. They are the beneficiaries of not just the Cardinals stinking, but the Padres being sub 500 and the Mets sort of, you know, floating around 500. Maybe this is one of the reasons why Bednar, the closer for the Pirates, insisted on pitching three straight games. He saved all three games of the series. And you would think that, you know, a closer pitches 2 days in a row, and we're not going to pitch him that third. No, pitch him that third. Let's sweep this series. You know, it was already, when they won on Saturday 4-3, they had already won the series at that point. They could have coasted on the early Apple game that was played on Sunday morning and said, hey, we already won the series. Cool. You know, we got the big Ke'Bryan Hayes home run the other day when the Cardinals took a huge lead to start the series off on Friday. It looked like, okay, here's the narrative. The Cardinals have come to stay. But no, the Cardinals collapse. And the Ke'Bryan Hayes home run took place. And next thing you know, the Pirates won that game 7-5. They had the back-to-back home runs in that disastrous inning. Suddenly they win yesterday, they win today. And the Pirates can take a good long look around and say, wait a minute, we didn't give up on Hayes, and he's starting to produce. We didn't let Reynolds go. We're getting good production out of him. Now you got to take a good long look at the team and say, okay, the calendar page has turned. You can no longer use the whole excuse of, well, it's too early in the season. You've gone 2 months. You've had a third of the season go by, and you've seen that they were able to survive the hardship of that disastrous May. Now's the point. If you've got to bring up Davis, if you've got to bring up what's the name of the other catcher they have in their system? I can't remember everybody's name. But if you have any decent prospects in their system, any decent pitchers who can give you just five innings a week out of the bullpen, this is the time you do that. Or you go look around. There's a great article on MLB.com by Mark Feinstein today about players who are languishing in the minor leagues and on other teams that you're thinking like, well, what if they get a change of scenery? The Joe Adells of the world who are just sitting in the farm system with no spot to play in. The Pirates aren't going to make a massive deal. They're not going to trade for Shane Bieber. But if they can fill in cracks here and there from their farm system, give them the depth they need in their infield, get another big bat in there to get a big hit from time to time, to get another arm in their bullpen to allow them to not have to run Hill into the ground because he's 97 years old. The calendar page has flipped, and suddenly the Pirates are good, and not a good with an asterisk next to it because of the division. They survived a gauntlet, and guess what they're going to face right coming into the next day? The A's. The A's are that elixir. The A's are the great tonic. The A's are the team that everyone can feast on. Now, they ran up a big score today. It doesn't mean you're necessarily going to sweep them, but if they can keep piling up the wins and the Pirates can win the games they're supposed to win and survive, all of a sudden, that calendar page is turned. And things are looking, just a little bit better and just a little bit different. And making those changes is kind of like tinkering with a team, tinkering what you need to have in your engine, tinkering with the sort of things to make the team run right. And if you need to do any tinkering with your engine, go to eBay Motors. And let me tell you something, eBay Motors understands that things have to be that perfect fit. So for parts that fit, head to eBay Motors, look for the green check. Stay in the game with eBay Guaranteed Fit. ebaymotors.com, they are the place to go because they have over 122 million parts to choose from. You'll be back in the game in no time. And it's easy to bring home a win when the right parts are guaranteed. Get the right parts, the right fit, and the right prices at ebaymotors.com. Let's ride. eBay Motors fit only available to U.S. customers. Eligible items only and exclusions apply. We are here at Locked On MLB talking about the high-flying Pirates. And that will also bring about the low-flying St. Louis Cardinals. I mean, let's look at, they lost three close games. It's not like they were blown out. If you're a Cardinal fan, you can look up and say, hey, they were in all three of the games. But here's the deal. We are at the point of the year where they're going to have to start going on a rampage soon. You notice that the Pirates went for it. They went for the sweep. They went for the kill. Bednar came in to close the game out. There was every, as I said, there was every reason to say, hey, we won the series. Give the closer a rest. Instead, they went for the roundhouse kick. Now, the Cardinals, of course, got off to a horrible start. They start off the year 10-19 to the amazement of everybody. Now, they did have a winning May. They were 5-13. But they, you know, they started the month of May off horribly, and now they've lost with their last they've lost the last three games and seven of their last 10. So they bookended the month of May with dreadfulness. Yes, they had some good series. They wound up winning the series against Boston. Yes, they wound up winning the series against Chicago. Yes, they wound up winning a game, a couple of games. Actually, they won 3 out of 4 against Los Angeles. But do you know what they need to do? They need to go on a tear. Not win a series here, win a series there. They have too many games to make up. You do realize this team is now 10 games under 500. This isn't like being in last place in the American League Central. When you're like, oh, well, or in American League East, I'm sorry. Where they're all five or teams with winning records at this point. 10 games under 500 is bad. That's legit badness. In fact, I'm going to use my trusted calculator here. I wasn't originally going to do this, but that's a 417 winning percentage. They are playing at a clip at one-third of the season. I'm going to use my trusty calculator here. 417. And this is, again, this is past Memorial Day. This is at the point where you have to take a look in the mirror. And the Cardinals are currently playing at a pace to win 67 games. Now, what does that mean? That means they're on a pace to lose 94, 95 games. And I can't stress this enough. We've played enough games where there's a sample size saying, is that who they are? They're 10 games under 500 now. They have to play 11 games better than they've been playing all year to get their nose above water. And you look at this team, it doesn't really make sense. It doesn't really make sense when you're examining, you know, the fact that they've put together the team they're supposed to have. You know? I mean, Goldschmidt is having a very good year. Arenado is, you know, turning it on. He got a couple of big home runs the other day. You know, they still have, you know, Jordan Walker is a capable player. You know, Tommy Edman is not having a great year, but it's not like he's a disaster. You know, I mean, we're supposed to look up at this team and say, how is a rotation of Miles Michaelis, Montgomery, Flaherty, Matz, and Adam Wainwright terrible? I mean, you go into the season thinking, like, that's not a bad rotation. You know, Giovanni Gallegos is, you know, he's a decent reliever. And you look at this team, and there is no part of this pitching staff do I feel tremendous amount of confidence in. But I can't blame the management for that too much, because at least on paper, it looks like they put together a decent rotation. But you look up and you see Sandy Alcantara, you see Zach Gallen out there, and Zach Gallen, sorry, and you realize some of the pieces that just did not work out. And this is a point where they have to take, you know, the Pirates have to look in the mirror and say, what do we have to keep giving us little boosts? You know, they got to win. You know, they went for the sweep against the Cardinals. Now they have to really go sweep against the A's to go on a roll. The Cardinals now have to take to really not just look at their farm system, But like you've got to wonder, you know, Mozeliak and the I always mispronounce his name, who he has to start looking in the mirror and going like, is my job safe? Because this is not a Cardinal team that was designed to, you know, be a wild card team and call it a day. The Cardinals are about to go to Texas. Now, I gave Texas a lot of guff at the beginning of the year, and I'm going to be eating my share of crow. You like that? You like my little visual thing there? Because so far, the Texas Rangers have been terrific. They have been. They've exceeded my expectations. I still think Houston's going to pass them. I still think Houston's the better overall team. But I have been absolutely stunned that the Texas Rangers have played this well this long, you know, going into the second third of the season. That may have to do with their manager, and that's something we'll definitely talk about in the next segment. But the Rangers are a good team. They're going to be playing at home, and the Rangers can hit. I mean, Marcus Semien seems to be hitting at will these days. And they can actually pitch. Now, if you had told me that DeGrom was going to be on the disabled list and has only thrown six games in the first third of the season. Remember when Ranger fans was getting all over me for saying, how dare I say that Jacob DeGrom is at injury risk and is injury prone? He's thrown six games this year. We're in June. But Nathan Eovaldi and John Gray are all-stars. And their bullpen has been good enough. So the Cardinals are going to be stumbling through a Pirates series where they narrowly lost three straight games. At this point, it's binary. There's no moral victories anymore. There's no, hey, we lost, but a lot of good things happened. No, it's binary time. This is normally the mindset that the team should have after the trade deadline. Once the trade deadline happens, it's August, September, everything's binary. You got to win. I don't care if it's winning ugly. I don't care if it's 1-0, 20-0, 20-19. You know, it just you're piling up the wins. The Cardinals are in that mentality now. When you've fallen 10 games out, and one of the rare instances where you're going head-to-head against one of your rivals and you drop three close games, that you're now in the mindset of, we just have to win. I don't care how ugly it is. We have to make up time. And you're going to go into Texas? Now, this is a great test for the Cardinals. This is a great test. If they can go into Texas, if they can go into that place and hold their own, and we know the Cardinals have a history of doing well against the Texas Rangers, just ask Nelson Cruz and his leap. But, you know, I don't think there's anyone left for the... Actually, no, Adam Wainwright is left. Actually, Adam Wainwright didn't play in that World Series. I digress because he was hurt. I digress. This is look in the mirror time. There are no more ugly wins, pretty wins. They don't matter. Cardinals have to make up for lost time. They've stumbled and bumbled, and we're now almost a week into June, and they're playing like a legitimately bad team. And they're going to play a really good team who's playing very well, thank you very much. You know, the Rangers played Seattle, who are, you know, a good team, and just have been blasting them. So if the Cardinals can survive the Texas Rangers series, then maybe we could see something. If they don't, if they lose the series against Texas, they will be 11 games under 500 as we approach the middle of June with a starting pitching staff that doesn't seem to be able to get out of its own way and a bullpen that's – I just watched that Pirates series. That bullpen's not very good. And this is a gut check moment because if this season continues the way it does – then it will have been a decade since the Cardinals' last pennant. And they have traded away. You know, Zach Gallen may win the Cy Young Award this year. They have traded away multiple Cy Young Award winners, if he does that, to get a star-studded team that right now looks like it's going to be scraping the bottom of the barrel. And then you may have to make some changes. Now, sometimes you make changes and sometimes you don't. Sometimes it's the right thing to make changes. Sometimes it isn't. We're going to talk a little bit on the final segment of this show. But as a reminder, this episode is brought to you by BetterHelp, H-E-L-P. Now, let me tell you something, a little personal thing, me. I believe in therapy. I'm in therapy. And it's a sign of strength that you can want to be able to share your thoughts and your fears with someone and try to give yourself the help that you need. I think you got to give it a try. And a good place to go is BetterHelp. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You have to fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. What you need to do in your life is you need to find more balance, and you can do that with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/LockedOnMLB today, and you'll get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P, /LockedOnMLB. Do it for yourself. Now, either tomorrow or the next day's show, I'm going to have on Miller Thomas from Locked On Diamondbacks. The Diamondbacks, like the Pirates, are on a little bit of a rampage. They lost the other day. They had a fabulous win against the Braves earlier in the weekend. And remember, you know, the Diamondbacks got off that great start, and I put that in the same category as the Pirates' great start, which was, well, it's good, but, you know, does anyone really think, you know, they got off to a solid winning start. But then they also had a good May. They won 17-10 in May. And now I'm not sure how the day will end. They're either going to be the worst case scenario for the Diamondbacks as they go into Monday one game out of first place. Best case scenario is they go into Monday one game in first place. And what will probably happen is they'll be tied with the Dodgers. And the Dodgers have been really good. So the fact that the Diamondbacks have been able to fill in there says a lot. You know, Christian Walker has been a, you know, a great power source. Lourdes Gurriel Jr., easy for you to say, has really been doing the job in left field. Not just, you know, he's had some big hits, but he's also made some really good plays defensively. And you've seen that, the rotation, once Bumgarner was removed from the rotation, Kelly, Gallen, Tommy Henry's had some good starts, and their bullpen has been solid. And this is a Diamondbacks team, as we're here, beyond the one-third mark of the season, and they are playing very good baseball. They're 11 games under 500 going into Sunday's game. And I can't help but look at Torey Lovullo. Now, Torey Lovullo won the Manager of the Year in 2017. His first year as manager of the D-backs, they won 93 games, and they got to the division series where they lost to Los Angeles. They had a solid year in 2018, but they fell apart down the stretch. They had a winning year in 2019, didn't make the playoffs. The COVID season in 2020, you take that with a grain of salt. But then they went 52-110 in 2021 and were dreadful. And you could always point to a team and say, hey, look, at this is a team that was very good. Now it's a 110-loss team. It's time to make a change. And I'm sometimes one who is an advocate for pulling the trigger of making a change of manager. I believe that David Ross has proved he is not the man for the job for the Chicago Cubs. I think the Blue Jays desperately need to get rid of their manager. And I also think the Angels should probably do that too, but it may be a little too late for the Angels. But for the Diamondbacks, they stuck with Lovullo because they knew when they went from 93 wins in 2017 to 110 losses in the year after COVID 2021, it wasn't because Lavolo became stupid. It's because they traded away a lot of their players, Goldschmidt, all these other people who went elsewhere. They didn't retain JD Martinez, this, that, and the other thing, and they had to rebuild. And they decided to keep Lavolo on as the manager, despite, I'm sure there was plenty of calls for him to go. And you saw last year, they went 74-88, which is a huge improvement from a 110 loss team. And now they have a winning record. And I think no small part of that was the fact that they kept the manager, they kept him with the car keys, that they said, we are building a good team for you. We tore that other team down. We're going to give you a brand new good team. But we trust you didn't get dumb. We trust you are still a capable manager. And we trust that you, manager of the year in 2017, can now do a good job here. And there is a place for that. There's a place to say, hey, it wasn't the manager's fault. And let's give this franchise some level of stability, which seems to be exactly what happened in Arizona. You know, you see sometimes teams don't pull the trigger on firing a manager and it winds up working. Sometimes you need to just say, hey, players are going to be changing, but the same person who knows the route we're going to take is someone we can trust. Now, when they lost 110 games, I thought they were going to axe him, or more to the point, I thought maybe he was going to say, I don't want to be here anymore. I don't want to be here for a rebuild. Instead, he was. And look at what we've got. You know, there's some teams that are doing poorly this year that have very good managers. They're just not off to a good start. The Mets are not off to a good start. The Padres are not off to a good start. Do I think that's because Buck Showalter and Bob Melvin are incompetent managers? Absolutely not. I don't think it's the manager's situation. Things aren't falling their way, and I think they probably will eventually turn around in the last two-thirds of the season. When things go badly, it's easy to say, dump the manager. And sometimes it is the right thing to do. I've seen nothing from David Ross that makes me think that he's the right guy for the job there. But I've seen a lot from Bob Melvin and from Buck Showalter to make me think that, oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. We should keep them going here. Now, truth be told, if you came up to me a year ago and asked me about the Phillies' poor start, I would have said, Joe Girardi is an excellent manager. Have him stick around. They gave him the heave and the hoe, and they wound up going to the World Series. You can't always tell. But I think we're seeing the stability that's going on in Arizona, I think, is no small part to the fact that someone they trust is in charge of the team. And I'm in charge of this right now. I'm going to give you a trivia question for the next episode, which is, we talked about the Pirates a lot. And by the way, listen to Ethan Smith and Locked On Pirates. It's a great show. He's a terrific host. And he has been languishing with bad teams to cover. Well, good for him. He now has a good team to cover. So have some fun with that, Ethan. Hey, my trivia question is this. Who is the only player in Pirates history to win the National League Rookie of the Year? Only one Pirate has ever been Rookie of the Year. Go ahead and name him. Be the first to tell him, whether it's at here on the YouTube page. You can send it to me at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram, or Locked On MLB Pods on Twitter. So follow us. And follow me at all those places as well. And we're going to have a great week of baseball. This has been Locked On MLB for the fourth day of June 2023. I am your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully.